Of course, one of the big concerns when the trial was first launched was whether or not any particular toxicity signals would be seen, particularly in terms of the lung. Where are we today in terms of clinical research data on that question, both from Pacific and elsewhere? And again, your clinical experience.
So my clinical experience does not support the trial data. I think the rate of pneumonitis seen in the clinical study was almost unbelievable. It is true that they enrolled only patients who were benefiting. So it was the fittest of the fit who got through chemo radiotherapy who went on to enroll on the Pacific study. So they picked a good population. But the rates of pneumonitis reported even on the placebo arm are well under what one would anticipate from just chemo radiotherapy alone. So the data in terms of pneumonitis is a little bit unbelievable, and the clinical experience is that there is more pneumonitis than was reported in the clinical study.
So I'm kind of curious, I don't know if any cases where you saw pneumonitis come to mind, but I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about that and how you figure out whether or not it's related to the durvalumab or to the radiation therapy or COPD or whatever.
Or does it matter? I think both immunotherapy and radiation-induced pneumonitis require prolonged steroid courses. So the most important aspect here is recognizing it. So I can give you a case of a patient. He is a 74-year-old Chinese man who presented after his CABG, so had a bypass and had a T3N2 cancer. So requiring antiplatelet therapy, certainly not appropriate for resection. He was treated with carboplatin, paclitaxel, and radiotherapy and did really well. He's actually done very well with durvalumab as well. And I do see these patients almost every dose, but he was doing so well, he had an uncoordinated treatment and informed the chemotherapy nurse of a cough. Interesting, had a small transaminitis too, but not one that would raise a red flag. 2 weeks later, when he returned for his next dose, he had an increase in his liver enzymes and a worsening of his cough. He had seen his primary care doctor, was given some antibiotics with absolutely no benefit. So he had a CT scan arranged, which even the radiologist was somewhat underwhelmed. But if you looked at all of his irradiated regions, there was an increase in ground glass opacities surrounding what was previously scar or resolved tumor, but no obvious evidence of progressive disease, so all of the lymph nodes remained regressed. There was no evidence of pneumonia, no patchy opacities diffusely through the lungs. It was really a regional process. So if you have to render a clinical opinion, I would have said it maybe it's his cancer progressing. But we prescribed steroids and saw him back a week later with improvement both in the liver function and the cough. So pneumonitis is the most likely clinical diagnosis, and understanding whether it's immunotherapy related or radiation related is a little challenging. But I would favor it's the radiation here. Regardless, it doesn't really matter. He's committed now to a course of steroids until the cough resolves and ensuring the cough doesn't recur once the steroids are completed.
Well, I guess it does matter in a more global sense whether or not durvalumab is increasing the risk of pneumonitis. It didn't look like that was happening with the Pacific trial. Do you think that it does?
I don't know that it does. I feel like we see a lot more pneumonitis in general than what was reported in the study. And all prior studies would report the same. The rate, it's probably about 20% of all degrees of pneumonitis. Whether Durva is increasing it or not, we'll need further studies. There are additional studies like Pacific ongoing where I think we'll get more data.